Welcome, welcome to the Sexual Healing Podcast, where we talk about all things in Black gay life from top to bottom. I am one of your co-hosts, Dr. Pookie, and at my side...
And I am the other co-host, Dark Boy.
Welcome, Dark Boy. We ready to get into it today?
We are.
We are? All right. So, let's start out with, you know, how was your week? How you doing, man?
The week was busy. Work was crazy. Getting home late every night, but it's good. I went to the gym a couple times just to kind of ease the stress and all that, so I'm good to go now.
Okay. I had a wild week as well. It was there was a lot going on. You know, I'm still trying to get the business going in a new direction. So I did a lot of work there. Still applying for jobs to have a stable foundation, you know, to get the coin right, cuz exactly. You know, yeah, invoicing and all that, it's not cute. It's not for everybody. But I've been doing it for a long time. So let's get into it. So our topic today is the wonderful world of sex, of course, but the labels that we sometimes take on and that are put on us.
Yes.
And they are top, versatile, bottom, and then the newest entry is side,
which I had never heard of until we were getting ready for this.
Oh yeah, it was I first heard about, well, I knew about sides. I dated a side actually once upon a time, but I didn't know that there was a name for it until I was watching this this series. It was British, called Cucumber.
Okay.
Did you ever see Cucumber? It was Cucumber and Banana.
I did not.
It was British.
Interesting titles, though.
Yeah, and that's what they referred to as well, I might add.
Okay.
Yeah, they were on Logo. Pretty interesting. One of the main characters was a side, and his partner was trying to get him to get into some penetrative action, and he was like, no, I just can't.
The whole concept is brand new to me. I had everybody in two categories, or three categories, didn't realize there was a fourth.
Yeah, I didn't either. Well, and I think it's an interesting category because it also blends with the other three. It's the idea of, you know, it's mostly everything but penetration, with that being, you know, anal, so to speak.
Yeah.
I think oral is part of foreplay, so that's very much on the table, you know, frottage and masturbation and, you know, different things like that. Those are the entrees. Okay, so let's get into this topic today. Have you ever done any of those crazy online quizzes where they try to categorize you as one of those labels?
I have. I have done a few, and all of them always say I'm verse, which I agreed with, you know.
Okay, mine...
Didn't say super bottom, didn't say super top, didn't just write it in the middle, which is just fine.
Okay, well, you know, I have a little less trust in these crazy things because I've done several. I've been cast as a top, as a power bottom, what was one of them was like, oh, what was it, like a garden variety bottom or something crazy like that. And then I had like a mask verse thing. I was just howling. I said, so basically I have just an issue. It's like I have an identity crisis.
You're all of the above.
All of the above.
All of the above.
Well, we can just call me sexual then. How's that?
Yeah, exactly.
All right. So this whole thing of tops and bottoms and verse and it's, you know, it's kind of a role in sexuality, but for some folks it's kind of become a lifestyle. Would you agree, disagree?
I agree. I think some people, they just have it where their whole life is being in a certain role and I guess never venturing out of it. I mean, and not just sex, but just in general. So, yeah, I do think people, they make it a lifestyle. And I mean, I guess if it makes them happy, but, you know, we'll see.
Well, yeah, because I know it's like... You certainly have folks where if, you know, if someone said to me, oh, this is my role, and they're like 50, 60 years old, and they've been out for 20, 30 years, I'm going to trust them. They've had plenty of time to figure out what it is they like and don't like.
Yes.
You know,
may not be in an experimental stage anymore.
Yeah.
Where they're trying to figure out. They already know.
Yeah. Although I have met some guys that are, you know, later on in years, and they're, you know, they've been topping the whole time, they've been bottoming the whole time, and they're just like, yeah, just, you know, one day decided to do this, or I came across a guy that, you know, inspired me to do this, and I'm kind of liking it. So,
Yeah.
and, you know, so it's like, what do you call yourself at that point?
Well, I think that the married guys, I think a lot of them, because they've been holding, you know, they've been wanting all this stuff while they were married and couldn't do it. So when they come out, I think a lot of them are not trying to be tops. That's just my impression. I
Well,
think they've been wanting dick all this time, they have been getting it, and they are trying to make it for lost time.
yeah, well, you know, I mean, if you're gonna chase something, you know, dick is a good thing to chase.
Yes.
And yeah, I do find it interesting that, you know, certainly for a lot of men that have maybe been coupled heterosexually, possibly even married with kids, some of them are definitely flying out of the box like, where is the dick? Like, they're
Yes.
just
Yes. Well, they're making up for that lost time, and they do not have the patience. If you're not trying to give it to them, they are not all of them, but they're not trying to have too much patience. They've been waiting 30, 40 years, so they're not trying to wait too much longer.
Well, yeah, and I've encountered guys on the other end, and I've often wondered with them, is that an issue of, you know, they've been basically, you know, screwing or fucking their wives for X amount of years, that they've just grown to love being the insertive partner, and so that's just what they're used to, that's what they like to do. They're kind of indifferent to doing anything else because they're like, hey, it's a hole, it feels good. I'm good to go. I've been doing this
Okay,
for a long time. But then I also wonder about the other side of that, where you have those guys that have been, you know, with a woman for X number of years, you know, they've been husbands, they've been fathers. They're these epitomes of masculinity and this idea of suddenly I'm going to have some other man penetrate me in that way that's been off limits. You know, culturally, socially, just off
yeah.
limits. I often wonder about, are those guys truly tops because that's what they like, or they like
Well,
to
it's all they've been
do?
used to. They
Yeah.
didn't have that was their only role. There was no other role for them being married.
Well,
You know,
that's not entirely true.
well,
But I get what you mean.
I think the new ones, the younger ones, yes, but I think if you're talking about the older, you know, that are, you know, trying to come out, I think that they need, you know, they're looking, they're still trying to figure out what they want, and you know, they want that dick. And I don't think that, I think they want to have someone else t take control. That's my impression. Of course, not all of them, but I just think just the ones that I've encountered, that's just how I felt. That was the impression I got from them.
Well, I think the other thing that happens with that is when you talk about taking control or submission and just kind of being led. You know, that is interesting because you certainly see that with S&M and BDSM dynamics where you do have people that are in positions of power in their daily, everyday life that in their sex play, it's very much a turn on for them to give all that up. To submit all that power, assign it to someone
Yeah.
else.
They're tired of being in charge all the time. They want someone else to take charge.
Well, and I mean, obviously, as heterosexual men, the expectation is that they're supposed to actively pursue the sex, you know, and women are supposed to be gatekeepers and not let them, you know, steal their virtue, so to speak, whether they are wives or girlfriends or mothers of their children, you know, it's
Yeah.
still this thing of this restraint on women's sexuality. But I think that it's interesting when you talk about that sexual dynamic between two men because you kind of have that out of the way. There is no woman there.
Yeah,
So
and I think, you know, I think with some straight men, I think what you know, hearing now is that there are more of them that are into pegging. So I think, you know, they're with, you know, they want their wife to do that to them or whatever. And so I do think that the younger people are more open to expressing or to exploring where it was really off limits and taboo before.
Definitely.
And yeah, yeah. So I think, you know, in 20, 30 years, this might not even be a big deal because they've already experienced it. Even if they figure out that they're gay, they've already may have already experienced some of this stuff. So it's not a huge deal.
Well, yeah, and I also wonder about when you talk about male sexuality, with it just being this thing of pursuit and conquest, and your partners being the prey. It seems like it sometimes does these sexual roles and acts that we, you know, that we participate in sometimes do kind of spill over into not only our identity, but how we live out our lives with other people, looking at gender roles and the expectations. I was on Twitter this week and I got my cackle because I saw at least four or five different guys post about, you know, this trade that came over here and it was a good visit, but now they want me to cook breakfast. I don't know what they think this is. And, you know, and this other guy, he posted something. What was it like? Maybe I need to have a hoe needs to go kit, you know? And I was just in a slide.
Oh my God. Right.
Yeah. And he's talking about like, you know, I need to have some trinkets to pass to them on their way out the door so they know it's time to go. And I just hollered. I said, wow. You know, just the whole hookup culture. And, you know, it is this thing of you kind of, obviously, hookup culture on the ads and all that and the different boards, you can be very clear about what it is you want and what it is you're willing to do.
Yes.
So I do wonder how much of that, it seems like it's bleeding over into actual life as well. I can honestly say, have I ever cooked a piece? No, I've never cooked a piece of meal after we've done our thing. I don't think I've been asked to cook either.
Yeah, I don't think that happens very often. I think going out, you know, maybe going out to breakfast, okay. But cooking something, I don't know. That's...
Yeah, I mean, I've not asked anyone to cook either. I mean, it's just, right. To me, it's like if I'm going to work it out, I'm taking me a snack. I don't need you to feed me. I'm taking a snack. I got my water bottle. I got me something to nibble on. You know,
yeah.
I don't need to come to your house to get fed. I'm already, you know, getting other things. I don't need food from you. So it's kind of weird, but I don't know. Is that a form of communication amongst brothers nowadays? I mean, is that how we communicate as a collective, just to try to take it beyond sex?
I guess so. I mean, I guess some people, you know, there's an expectation. Well, if you're here overnight, you know, if I'm having you overnight, then someone's going to have to cook breakfast. You know, you're going to have to cook breakfast or something. I guess if you're the one hosting, then the other one's going to have to cook breakfast. That's how I think people are trying to do it.
Well, yeah, but I mean, that makes sense if someone's staying overnight. But I'm talking about like the, you know, the 10 p.m., 1 a.m. trick, you know, that comes over and things are, you know, might be done in 20 minutes or a half hour or 2 hours, you know.
And then you're going home after that.
Yeah, and it's like, you need to get up and put your drawers on and get up out my house. You know, what about, you know, is it appropriate to ask folks to suddenly become your wife or for you to take on this role of quote-unquote husband and demand a meal? I mean,
I don't think so.
It's definitely not, but I swear it seems to be happening with either greater frequency or folks are just airing dirty laundry on Twitter. I don't know.
Yeah. I think it's probably both, I would say. I think people are being a little bit more bold in what they're asking. Mm-hmm. But then I also think that people who probably wouldn't have normally shared it before are now sharing, can you believe what this person did to me or what they asked or what they were expecting? I think it's both.
Yeah, I mean, I've certainly encountered some gentlemen that have inspired me to cook for them, you know.
Inspiring is very different.
So. Yes, inspiration is a different, you know, a different matter altogether. It's like, you know, I think I even baked that fool some cookies once, but he earned them.
But yeah, I was gonna say, must have been really good.
Oh, it was. Okay. It was from the Caribbean. Yes, it was.
Okay, good. Yes.
You know, that island stuff. It was dangerous. Mm-hmm. I said, oh, no. Who was it that was talking about island dick and island genitals and just it'll mess up your credit? No, yeah, it could have been a problem.
Oh, I don't know. I have to find out more about that.
Yeah, it was. I said, well, you know, I understand. I definitely understand. It was like when I heard, I said, that's true. That is very true. Very, very true. Okay. So I think one of the other things that we see with this whole idea of tops, bottoms, verse in our collective community, so to speak, is this idea of, you know, are versatile folks like the top and bottom, are they really versatile or are they just confused bottoms?
I do not think so. I don't think they're confused bottoms. I think you have to, I mean, because you just, I mean, you people, they have to do, I mean, you like both things. Mm-hmm. To me, I like both. Mm-hmm. And you have to, and I think you have to be, I mean, you can't just assume that people are just one or the other. There has to be some kind of an in-between. Mm-hmm. There has to be. There are people who just really like doing both. They may, I mean, I'm sure that there are still people who like doing one thing more than the other, but they'll still do both. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think they're confused. I mean, I hope that's not the thing that's out there, that us versatiles are confused bottoms.
Yeah, I hear that a lot. I mean, it's certainly, you definitely see that a lot in conversations. You see it a lot on different boards, you know, Facebook groups and the like, where, and to me, it makes a lot of sense, but because it is, there's this whole tapestry of sexual stuff that can be done, whether it is, you know, whether you are doing something to someone or having someone do something to you. I mean, we're talking from tickling to running your tongue up somebody's up the middle of their back, you know.
Right.
It's like it's all quote unquote top or bottom, you know, in terms of being the active versus the passive.
Well,
partner.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
But it's interesting to me that we do kind of dismiss the idea or we make, you know, the anal sex like the pièce de résistance of it all. And this is the one thing that defines you. Because I've certainly come across guys that were specialists, as I like to call them. They did what they did, and they did it very well.
And that was all they did?
Yes.
Okay, well.
Yeah. I came across this one guy when I was in school. He was a surgeon. And I met him online, and we met in the parking lot at a local grocery store. I had to check him out, make sure everything was cool, and
yep.
You know, he
make sure he's not crazy.
Exactly. You know. And then we went back to my place and he sucked my dick for about an hour. That's all he did. I mean,
okay.
And I had to ask him to take it. I was like, can I see the body? Like, because I mean, he literally was like not even taking his shoes off. He wasn't taking nothing off. He came to suck dick and that was it. Yeah. And I said, well, okay. We did chat and he certainly was like, yeah, really all I do is like sucking dick. I don't like anyone sucking my dick. He's like, I get off on that.
I mean, he didn't even take off any of his clothes? Mm-hmm. Nothing?
No. The second time we connected, he didn't take anything off. The first time he took off his clothes because I asked him to, but he didn't. He was cool keeping them on.
Wow. So then, what, does he go home, jerk off by himself, thinking about what he just did, I guess?
I guess so. Yeah. I mean, and the thing that was crazy to me is that he sucked my dick for an hour and I did not come until he wanted me to.
Oh, that's kind of a...
He has skills.
A different thing where, like, yes, but, like, where he's in control.
Uh-huh.
I mean, it's kind of like, I don't want to say like a bottom role, but he's in control, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It seems like that way.
Yeah, I mean, he certainly had mastered his craft because if I even got close, he actually changed up his technique, which allowed me to kind of settle back in. I was like, I said, well, damn. I was like, I should have been taking notes on what he was doing.
Wow.
I mean, it was, but actually, I mean, if I'm working on somebody, I can, you know, I understand all that stuff, so I can kind of, you know, manage that as well. You know, because there are some telltale signs that inner thigh muscle kind of gets a little tense on you, and you know, obviously the balls draw up, but not always.
Yep.
They don't always draw up. I've come across a couple that don't draw, you know, but then you also start getting that a little bit of a little thump at the base of that dick. It's like, yep. You know, so you kind of
the dick jumps. That's what I call it. Dick jumping.
Yes, it hops and does things, and so you kind of know, like, okay, you're getting close. Let me back off, you know. Or if you got to put that grip at the base, you can, and just be like, hold on, buddy, hold on. It's like, but yeah, I mean, I feel like, you know, those guys that are sides, you know, I had one guy
like this guy. He's a side, I would guess.
Oh, definitely.
He didn't
definitely okay. A side.
He didn't like it. He didn't like. Mm-mm. Being penetrated or penetrating anybody.
Yeah.
Okay. He just focused on sucking dick. That's all he cared
about. Yeah. I mean, if you could penetrate his mouth, that was good for him. He didn't need anything else bothered. And, you know, and I did ask him once if that was an STD control thing. Obviously, there's still a lot of things he was exposed to by just sucking dick. But I said to him, I was like, is that a thing of, you know, kind of keeping HIV at bay? And he said, he's like, I guess it could serve that purpose, but he said it wasn't about that. It was just about, this is what he liked to do, and he had really, you know, perfected his technique, so to speak.
But then why wouldn't he want someone to do that to him? That's the part that's, I would want to know that part.
He said it didn't do anything for him. And I don't know if it was, that he had just came across some guys that didn't know what the hell they were doing. Or it just wasn't how he was wired. I mean, you have some guys that they can, you know, they can shoot just with you playing with their nipples. You know,
Yeah, I've heard of that. Yeah. I've heard of those guys.
It's like, I played with one night and I said, wow. And it was so funny because I saw him online once, and he had a profile talking about his nips were wired to his ass, and I said, yeah, they are.
Oh,
yeah, they were, because I was working on
to his ass or his dick.
No, to his ass. So like, he, if you play with his nipples, it was like you were fucking him.
Oh
yeah. And he,
wow,
yeah, he shot like buckets. Because I was I was working them nipples and had about three fingers in that ass working that prostate. Mm-hmm. And have my pinky working on that taint. It was, yeah. I'll tell it too much of my business here.
No, that's okay. That's fine.
You know, but yeah, I mean, there are, I don't know, I guess it's, and I don't know how I would classify that guy. I mean, obviously, you know, I penetrated him with some fingers, but I didn't fuck him. I don't know how he would even class. I think he had versatile in his profile, but what he liked, you know, was that
was nothing to do with penetration.
Yeah,
or not all of it anyway.
Yeah, I mean, we were in like a 69, you know, side by side on the bed, and he was basically sucking my dick the whole time. So it was like, wow, okay. And it was interesting. You know, because if I'm with somebody and I, you know, I'm going to kind of try to map their body and figure out what works, you know, what are their spots, and kind of grade those spots. I'm like, oh, yeah, if I need to really, you know, make somebody try to climb a wall, you hit this, you know, or maybe you do a combo. You know, it's like, I try to map out their body, and, you know, because it's about having a good time, and, you know, who doesn't want, you know, positive feedback from their efforts?
Exactly, you know, exactly. Did he tell you about his nipple, or you just...
No, I could just, well, they were quite...
Larger?
Yeah, they were rather perky and prominent. Not grotesquely so, you know, where he has like, you know, the cylinders and he's enlarging them, but They just looked like...
That's what I was picturing in my mind, though, when you said that.
Yeah, they didn't look like pencil erasers, but they were clearly... Okay. They were clearly at attention.
Okay.
Yeah, because I was just kind of doing, like, a little bit of... I would say, like, a light touch, you know, almost like a... just lightly grazing his skin, because he was smooth, which was... to me was interesting, because I'm usually not drawn to that. I like a man that's on the hairy side. And so it was really odd that I was into this, you know, this guy that was very smooth. Although he did have a patch of hair in the middle of his chest. But like his arms, his shoulders and all that was just clean. And so I was like, do you shave? It's like it just seemed like he shaved, because I think he was in his 40s. But yeah, it was just, it was a very interesting encounter. And I would wonder if I would classify... you know, what do you call him?
Yeah, but was that all he wanted to do, though?
Yes.
Okay, and so maybe he's a side then. I don't know.
Yeah, because I did ask him if he wanted some dick, and he said no, he didn't want any.
And he wouldn't give his to you, or do you think he would have?
No, that wasn't his thing. Yeah, he said it wasn't. It's like, you know, because, you know, I will negotiate, but like, so what, you know, what all are we trying to do here?
See, the way I've always done it was just, I think we kind of knew, before, you know, what was going to happen. So, I mean, I would go into it knowing, you know, what was going to happen. I mean, now it doesn't matter now because I'm a married man, but, you know, before, previously.
In your younger days.
You know, yes, in my younger days, and... Now, I don't have too many wild experiences, but I mean, yes, but it was always like we knew what the role of each other was going to be before. And, you know, we switched it up.
Well, yeah, I try to establish, you know, certainly depending on my mood, that might dictate not only, you know, what role I'm willing to take on, but also what I'm willing to do, or have done to me. And I'll try to negotiate the key things up front. You know, if I encounter a guy and he's like, oh, yeah, I'm a top. And I'm like, yeah, I don't feel like doing all that tonight. Then it's like, then I'm not messing with you. You know, because it's preparation. It's mindset. It's some work.
Exactly.
And, you know, I've looked at some dicks and said, I'm not trying to work that hard tonight. It's like, you know, and even, you know, I've seen some asses where I'm like, ooh, that thing is talented and it does tricks. That thing is hungry. I don't have enough of a meal to feed that thing
feed
today.
It.
Yeah, I can't feed it. It's going to be mad.
Oh, you can't feed it.
Yeah, I mean, in some nights I have been like, oh, I can probably take care of that. You know, I appreciate a challenge. But yeah, it just depends. I mean... it depends. I try to, so I, you know, so I'm not wasting my time and they're not wasting theirs. You know, it's like if you're both in the mood for the same thing and you're not willing to compromise, that you didn't choose well. It's just you didn't choose well. Somebody lied.
Right.
Yeah. And you know, it's like there's already enough we don't tell one another in casual sex that we don't need to lie about stuff as well. Yeah. So I'm wondering, when we talk about, you know, this whole idea of these different roles, what is the deal with one or others being valued more than others? You know, where you have, you know, you think about a city like Atlanta, and I hear this all the time, where it's like, oh, this is bottom city.
Too many bottoms?
You know, you...
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, you can't find a top in Atlanta. I'm like, I just have a hard time believing that.
But
especially
see,
with some of the Tumblr videos I've seen.
Well, yeah, that's true. But I think those are all paid. Well, yeah, you're right. But I have a feeling those are paid to be doing that. So
I don't think so.
I mean, I hear it. Well, but see, okay, but
okay,
what you hear about Atlanta and other cities, I think that's why there's kind of this feeling that the tops are more valued because they're more rare. So when you find one, You got to get your hooks into them because you can't let it go because who knows when you're going to find another one.
Exactly. Well, there was this article that I read a while ago. It was maybe a year ago where it was talking about, you know, the competition amongst bottoms for the dick out there. Just that there's so little good dick that the bottoms, they got to work hard to get it. Like,
they so got the queens to, are fighting over the fighting yes. over the dick.
Fighting for
oh
the scepter.
Goodness.
Yes.
Oh my goodness.
Like, they're trying to get that scepter in their shrine, and it's rough. And they were talking about the whole idea of they almost have to be like concubines, and be willing to accept that there are going to be other men that Yotap is messing with. Like, it's a 4-to-5-to-1 ratio. Almost like you got to be a sister wife if you want.
So basically, just keep the one you've got, and you know, if he goes out and does these other people, I guess that's just part of the territory. If you want to keep him at all,
yeah,
I guess.
You ain't got shit to say that, you know. And I think creates this really interesting power dynamic where you have, you know, tops that really get to act like. As our friends at the Reed like to say, they get to act
the
like fuckboys.
Yeah,
you know.
Well,
yes,
because they're that's where that value comes in. They're more valued, so they kind of get to do what they want and when they want, and you know, who's gonna say anything to him, because there's not much competition for him. So, you know, you could say, "Oh, well, I'm gonna leave because I can't take this anymore," but then, you know. You might go a long time before you find another top.
Well,
I mean, I'm guessing.
Possibly, but I think.
But to me, that's why they are able to be the fuckboys, because they, I think they're kind of taking advantage of the shortage of tops. Really, that competition is not there for them. Not as much as you know, the rest of us think. You know.
Well, yeah, but I have to think that there are more tops out there than any of us realize, because I think about them almost like I think about, you know, the black gay community and the black lesbian community in the LA area. There really are no more spots where it's like, oh, I can go here. You know, I can go to the annex, I can go to the study and I'll see my people, I can go to Catch One. Those places are all gone.
All gone.
So I often think about, you know, tops in a sense of, you know, they're at the house parties, they're at home, they're minding their business. It's okay. Like, you know, they're not on the scene like that. Whereas you do have this thriving nightlife and all that, where you do have many more folks out there doing their thing. But I think also when we talk about tops, we don't always see them because they don't look like what we expect them to.
Well, that's true. We probably assume that they are straight men.
Or straight acting, yeah, that whole masculine.
Yep.
Absolutely. I mean, you definitely have a lot of these folks that are like, I don't want no sissy climbing my back. But some of them sissies will weigh you back out.
Yeah. if he could do the job, who cares?
Exactly. I mean, it seems like, you know, obviously a lot of folks have talked about this idea of these sexual roles being, you know, conflated with gender and aping gender roles and all this good stuff. But I think also it's so divisive because you don't really look at a person at face value. You know, well, you might, obviously we all look at someone and size them up and say, attractive or no.
Yes.
I'm interested or I'm not. And, you know, the flamboyant guy that will just lay that pipe on you often gets overlooked.
That's true. Because people just assume he's the bottom. They do. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. You know, they're like, oh, this messy queen is the bottom. You know, I'm messing with her. And it's like, I have met some of those messy queens, and, you know, I was at one, what was that? I was at a party somewhere in L.A., and this thing walked up to me and said, how you doing? I said, I'm cool. How are you? And, you know, I don't normally get approached like that. So it was really kind of like, I'm good. How are you? And he was like, I'm fine. He's like, you know, you a nice little tall something. I could chop that ass down. And I just looked at him like, I was like, sweetie, you were all of 5'5", maybe.
Just. But he might make up for it other places.
Yeah, I'm sure he would have. But I was like, you are not my type at all. I was like, if we could maybe add a foot on to you. It's like maybe a foot. I need something I can climb. And maybe another 100 pounds, because
he was
was
thin.
quite, yeah, he was a petite little thing. He could have been a gymnast as far as I,
Oh.
you know, yeah. And hilarious though, nice guy. I mean, we did talk, and I was like, yeah, I don't think you're gonna chop this tree. And he's like, you want to bet? I was like, I'm not putting money on it because I'm not gonna take your money from you. But yeah, I mean, you have those guys that totally belie all the stuff that we expect from them.
Yeah, and somebody like him, I would think if he's out there, if he's bold and putting it out there, approaching you as a stranger, somebody he doesn't know, he is just what he says. Maybe he would have chopped down a tree, you know what I mean?
Oh yeah. I mean, it's, I just remember I won't reveal too many details because, you know, I didn't get authorization to tell the story, but I was on a certain trip with some friends, and as we checked into our hotel, there was this short little cutie behind us, and he couldn't have been more than, I'd say, maybe 5'6" at the most. And he had one of our crew tied up for the whole weekend. And, you know, our friend was over 6 feet tall. And when I saw our friend again, he just looked like his back had been broken many, many, many times. When I saw him, I hollered. I said, damn, you look like you just got fucked through several mattresses and floors. And he had been. I was like, who did that? And he just kind of put his hand out to the side and put it down kind of low. I said, no. I said, ooh, okay. I respect that.
Okay. See,
You
so
know?
there may be a lot that's overlooked. I have to agree with you.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's because I think about something like, you know, the expectations that we have around what a guy looks like and his body type, and it dictates what he's going to do, and what we can expect from him. It's so dangerous because I was watching this one little porn flick, and they had this guy in there, and he was, you know, he was a brother, you know, he was built. I forget, it was like, what was it, maybe Macho Fucker? I can't remember. It was, and I think his name was Truck or Tank or something like that. And
No, both of those
they,
names sound familiar.
yeah, well, you know, yeah, the R&B singer that
Yes.
likes his
Oh,
salad
you're right.
tossed.
Yes.
Yes. And you know, but they made such a big deal about, yeah, this guy, he gets fucked, and it was such a short scene too. So it was, I don't know what that was about, because you know normally they had them boys getting worked on for a good 20, 30 minutes. You just like, Lord, you know, are they gonna tear that rectum out of him or what? But
Yeah.
this was a very short scene, but he was like, yeah, bring it, you know, hand me that dick. What's going on? I was just like, I mean, he had all of that masculine bravado about him, but it was all about getting that dick in his ass. Which I just found quite interesting. You know, it was an enjoyable scene, but what I found interesting was how they marketed him in that scene. It's just this idea of, oh,
Well, yeah.
this is rare, this is unusual. Someone looks like this and they're taking
Sometimes when
dick.
I've seen these really big muscular guys, you know, in these porn movies, and I see them, you know, getting fucked, to me, it's weird. I mean, that's my own, you know, issues or whatever, but not that it's wrong, of course, but it's different. I don't expect it. So I have it in my mind, this program that, well, if he's a big muscular guy, he's going to be a top, you know, and it's not always the case. And it makes sense for it to not to be the case because, you know, everybody needs dick now and then, now and again.
That's it. And you know, what was it, Lil' Kaya with her song, everybody need a little dick every now and then. Yeah, you know, oh, that show is so crazy, I love it. But yeah, I mean, it's, I think the thing that I take from a lot of this, and we probably need to wrap this one up now, is just there are a lot of fascinating books out there that, and you need to ignore the jacket on them, and the cover, because the
Okay.
pages are quite intriguing. And so sometimes you just have to approach somebody in as a sexual being, as opposed to top, bottom, verse, side, kink, fetish, whatever it is. You gotta negotiate that stuff, but I use that rule with like an ugly man too. The guy we just like, I don't know about you. It's like I've had some of my best sex with ugly
That's
men,
true. Again,
I
that's
have to
another
say.
judging a book by its cover kind of thing. Like, yeah. Because, I mean, the guy that I had dated before, he wasn't super attractive, but the sex was great. Was I mean, and he even to himself, I mean, to me, I didn't think he was bad looking, but he thought he was bad looking, and he wasn't the classical, guy that you would think that is a gay guy. He didn't have that. He wasn't didn't have this hard body and all that kind of stuff, but the sex was phenomenal. So.
Yeah, I mean, I just, ooh, this one guy, he actually looked like, I know you're not like a huge wrestling fan from back in the day, but he looked like one of the Wild Samoans, with the hair. And I was just like, oh, this was like, oh, this is like, why are you trying to talk to me? But I'm grateful I said hello. I said, whoa. Yeah, it was so bad. I almost towed my car up trying to get home that night. It was, whew, Lord, yeah, I'm having flashbacks now. Vapors, I tell you, vapors. But okay. So it's like, did you have any closing
No,
thoughts on this topic for today?
just I mean, I guess it just kind of goes to just be sexual. Just do what each other wants and that feels good and you both are into, and maybe not be so much into the sticking to a certain role because maybe that's what you're used to. Just be willing to explore and enjoy.
Yeah, because I think in a future show we definitely want to talk about, what happens in a relationship where you have two people
Two
that
tops and two
identify the
bottoms.
same way, and you have exactly, and you have the expectation of monogamy.
Yeah,
How
exactly.
that gonna work? It's like, it's like you can't. Well, I don't want to get into it, but we'll definitely have to pick that up another time. So we're gonna move on to our next segment, and it's called Ask a Brista. And these are questions that we get from women out there about male sexuality, gay male sexuality, typically gay male sexuality. And so the first, well, the only question I have for today is, the names have been changed to protect the innocent. One of my homegirls, Lisa, wanted to know, in a couple where you have two men, obviously, who is the man and who is the woman? And she's like, how do y'all decide on that stuff? And my first response to her is, there isn't a man and a woman.
Right, that's
Yeah,
right.
they're two men. The parts fit together in ways that you might not have imagined, because you don't use yours that way, or you've never tried, or you've never thought about it. But it goes back again to this whole top and bottom thing, and the definition of sex is penetration.
In my mind, I still think that in straight people, they don't think of oral sex as being sex. To them, I think it's only
a lot of times. Sure.
penetration is sex. And so for them, like, well, what do you guys do? And sometimes there is no penetration, and I think that's where they get confused, because they're so made to believe or have been told all this time that that's what sex is. And so when you have two people who aren't doing that part, then they're like, well, what do you guys do? Who's the man, who's the woman? Like, they can't get around that, the gender thing, like we had talked about earlier.
I often feel like that idea of men do this and women do that really kind of places that sexuality in a box where the only thing that is valued is a dick going into a vagina, to a certain extent. And you have folks that are like, look, I kissed your ass, and and you know, you didn't stuck your dick in me, and I'm good. I don't need to suck your dick. I don't, you know, it's like you have all these other parts of the body that are just underutilized. There's so much that could be going on. I mean, you know, it's, I had one homegirl, you know, she likes a nice hot dog, you know, she'll what I like to call the titty bang, you know, she'll have a guy, you know, she'll lube up between her breasts and she'll, you know, create that space. And I'm like, titty bang, girl. And then she's like, mm-hmm. And then she'll also turn into like a reverse tea bag. You know, she'll have his ass over her face, and then she can play with the, you know, play with the balls a little bit while he's banging it, you know. And I was like, all right, girl, that's how you work that, you know. And then you also have the other way, if you want a little something on your chin, you know, upper chest, neck, you know. Yeah. And it's a way to keep that out your eyes. And so
we don't want that.
'Cause that shit burns. Yeah, you don't want that. I mean, I often, you know, when I talk to a lot of women about sex, because it's always funny, they ask us, and I'm like, okay. And I get it. We're guys, so we kind of know what we like. And we've also...
Yeah.
That's true. You know, they definitely can... yeah, because I think a woman asking a straight guy a question about what he likes to that guy is probably an invitation to have sex. And she's like, no. I just want to know if y'all like that and why, you know. And it's, yeah, I mean, I guess going back to her question, because we strayed all the way from her question. You know, there is no man and woman. There are two men. There are two sexual creatures there that have their desires, things that, pleasures they like to receive and pleasures that they like to give.
And I think part of it also is that kind of like negotiation that I would, I mean, negotiate is not the right word, but I can't think of a different word for it. But it's like, you kind of know what you're, I think most people kind of know what they're getting into. So, I mean, it's that. Mm-hmm. So it's not who's the man and who's the woman. There's, because again, there's no woman there.
I would also say, you know, to the women that kind of see this idea of being penetrated as somehow feminine or feminizing, that very masculine guy that's penetrating you can be penetrated as well and get as much, if not more, out of it than you. So, you know, it's all sexual activity. It doesn't really have anything to do with your orientation, doesn't have anything to do with your gender per se. You know, because you have guys that are very much men that enjoy being feminized in terms of sex, where they're, you know, they're wearing women's clothing, and you know, they're doing these fantasy scenes, you know, where they're maybe getting talked dirty to and all these different things, I don't laugh to make fun of it. I'm remembering an interview that I had with a guy, and he was just like, you know, he's like a bitch like to get slapped around from time to time. And I said, oh wow. And if you could see this guy, I mean, we're talking mid-50s white guy, you'd never guess, you know, that he's like, let me put my panties in my bra. And, you know, I was just like, wow. You know, so again, those books.
It's not
about the cover.
By the cover.
No, you can't do it. I mean, I never would have looked at that guy and said, oh, wow, when you have sex, your name is Sheila. Okay. You know, I mean, it was something like that. But, yeah, he had a whole other persona he took on. Just like with the baby play, you know, it's all fetish activity that you enjoy. It's not, doesn't have anything to do with your orientation as we understand it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's wiring. Yeah. So I don't know. So the only decision to be made is whether or not what they're doing and are willing to do works for you.
That's it.
And if it does, have at it. That's it. Yeah, so we're going to move on to our next segment called Help a Brista Out. And these are letters from brothers in arms.
All right, so two questions today. Yes. The first one is from Jacob in New York. And he writes, I cheated on my boyfriend and I'm not sure what to do. We talked about having an open relationship and he was adamantly against it. I was for it, did it anyway, and now I feel guilty as hell. I don't want to lose him, but I don't want to lie to him either. What do I do?
Okay, so
this is a tough one.
Not really. The pragmatist in me is like, Jacob, you should have kicked him to the curb a long time ago.
Well, no, Jacob's the one that cheated.
Yeah, I know. Jacob should, you know, when you had the discussion about having an open relationship and he was adamantly against it, that was your indication to move on. Now, that's the pragmatist in me. Now, the diehard romantic, dear Jacob, I understand your dilemma. It's hard to find a good man out there, and you found one. Unfortunately, he was not enough for you to be fully satisfied, apparently. The guilt and all that, that's all on you.
But, I mean, does he tell? Or does he keep it a secret?
I always feel, you know,
I could see both sides, though.
As do I.
Yeah, because I can see you tell him because, you know, you don't want to lie to your partner or anything like that. But he's going to be hurt because you went and did it anyway. And on the other side, I mean, if you keep it a secret, you know, you're not hurting him. You're still going to feel the guilt and, you know, all the pain that you've caused yourself, and knowing that you know, you're lying to him. So, I mean, I could see both sides. I don't know. I think you were right though at the beginning. That might have been the time to take a break, at least take a break from the relationship, and then see really how important it was at the time. Could you deal with not being with this guy? He's a great guy.
Yeah.
You know. I mean, obviously, he must be. You don't want to lose him, so. I don't know. I think maybe taking a break might have worked, because then you could have seen what life would have been like without him, and then seeing how important, you know, the open relationship part was.
Well, and I think the other thing that's really key in this situation is, you know, Jacob, why are you in the relationship? Clearly, it's not purely sexual, because you wouldn't want to be with other people. There are clearly some other things that he brings to the relationship. I do think that those things, those other things that you're not talking to us about, that your partner is bringing, are the things you don't want to give up. Yet I have to wonder, do you have the stones to keep going in this battle between your sexual satisfaction and actually being loved in this relationship? Because obviously he's doing that for you.
Yeah, and I think this is going to come up again. I mean, Jacob might get over the guilt or push it down far enough that he doesn't think about it anymore. But then that want to be with these other people still is going to come up. It's not going to go away. So I think he just has to decide. I think he really has to sit down and decide what is important. What's, you know, what's the priority?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely, as someone who has fallen out of love with monogamy as I've gotten older, I'm not the one that's out there just fucking out of both drawers legs by any stretch of the imagination. But once upon a time, I was very much like your partner, where I was like, oh, no, if I'm with you, I'm with you. And you with me. You know?
Right.
You know? And realizing that there's so much out there that you're just like, I don't know if I want to be closed off to it forever. And it's not to say that this is how I'm going to approach my next relationship.
Right.
But it's that it's a possibility that I'm open to it, even if it's like, okay, we'll play together as a couple. You know, we'll have ground rules about, you know, how open this relationship is. What are the deal breakers? I feel like you need to really have a conversation with your partner, because if you're in a relationship with him and you're holding back these kind of details and you're basically stepping out on him, you're not really there, and he deserves more than that from you.
Yeah.
That would be the issue I would certainly have, is that you're not fully present. And you're not being honest either.
And it's going to keep coming back up. It's not, I don't think it's going to go away.
Absolutely. It's, you know, it's definitely, yeah, Jacob, I feel for you.
Yep.
You know, you really need to have a few more conversations, because I'm wondering if you're wanting to be with other people is because of certain fetishes or kinks that you have, that he's not interested in participating in, or if this is related to, you know, both of you guys kind of being wired the same way and liking the same things and kind of looking at one another like, yeah, who's doing this tonight? And you guys have reached a compromise, which is satisfying for him, but not for you. Or do you just want to have play with multiple people? I don't know.
Yeah, and a lot of people, what I've heard is that they will get into the relationships where monogamy is the focus, and then after a while, one of them is kind of not as into it as they used to be. And so this may be a situation that they're in where they might have been on the same page at the beginning, and now they're kind of on different pages. And like you said, I think the only way for them to is to sit down and talk it out. It could be a fetish thing. He didn't say that, but it could be. And I know sometimes people will do this because they are embarrassed at what they want to do, and they're worried about the partner's reaction. But you won't know how they feel until I think you talk about it, if it is even a fetish thing.
Well, I think the other tough thing is, you know, I've seen this so much where folks are very hesitant to ask for what it is they want or what they need sexually, for fear of that embarrassment. And I always feel like, you know, I'd rather you let me know what's going to work for you. I expect that your body's going to change over time, that your interests are going to change over time. I know mine certainly have. And if I'm, you know, if I'm your partner, we have to have good enough communication that you can share this stuff with me and know that I'm not going to throw it in your face. Because if you're with someone and you can't say those things about them, then you've probably the relationship isn't hasn't matured yet to a level where you're like, yeah, this is the one for me.
Yeah,
That's one
because you
possibility.
end up with this situation.
Yeah, or you haven't chosen well. You know, you chose them based on something that wasn't lasting. You know, I think when I think about people talking about, I hear couples say, oh, this is, you know, he or she is my best friend. And I'm often like, how'd that work? Because, you know, your husband and wife, and you kind of know on one level, like, of course, they have to be good friends because they're married and there's that intimacy there. And your old friends and even relatives take a back seat to this person now. Not just because they're your husband and your wife, but because they are your ride or die. They are your best friend. They are there through all of it. And it's just
Yep.
my understanding of that has changed over the years. Okay. All right, Jacob, baby, you might want to go on. You have to figure out whether you can live with that. But if you can't, you know, if you're not going to be honest with your partner, you got to let it go. Because you're dishonoring yourself as
Yep.
well. Well, that's all I got for you. Good luck.
Yes. Good luck, Jacob. Okay, next one is Richard from Chicago. I'm a gay male.
Shot
Yep. Gay male, 20-year-old
down.
gay male. I met this really hot guy online who lives nearby.
Of course you
Yes,
did.
a Latino with 8 inches. That's important later on.
Oh,
As we
okay.
talked, he said he had a boyfriend who has 6 inches. And they
Huh.
would like all of us to get together for a threesome.
All right now.
They are both tops.
Oh, Richard.
Problem is, I'm a virgin. But I'm ready to
Oh.
lose it now. So I'm just wondering if there's any tips for my first time. Thank
Oh, Richard.
you.
Oh, nubile booty. I love it.
Yes. Trying to take 8 inches.
Well, baby, you better start with that six. Let's be
Yes.
real.
That's why I said that was important early on.
Yes. Now, if that six is like a cudgel, then you know, if it's a club, then yeah, you might want to go and work with that eight. Oh, Richard. Okay, so
Yes, but he
baby.
wants his first to be with a threesome, which
Oh,
is
see, he does want the threesome
in a
as his
threesome. He wants to lose
okay.
his virginity Yes.
Wow, ambitious. Okay.
Yes.
Well, do they know he's a virgin?
He did not say that.
If they know he's a Vaheen, then they might take. Okay, so you gotta let these guys know, first of all,
Yes,
that your
first.
stuff is fresh. They got to doubt that. Because it's going to get wild up in there.
This is not a jam it in type of situation. You got to go easy with
No,
this one.
it's not going to slide in like a porn flick, baby. I'm sorry. Okay. So, Richard, sweetie, wow. Okay. I would
He has some
suggest.
lofty goals
Yeah,
now.
he does. I appreciate
Yes.
an Olympian. I do. You go for the gold. But I would say you must do your training, honey. If this was just a one-on-one, you could communicate and there wouldn't be as much, where they would just
Yeah.
be like, oh, this bitch can't get it together. Let's just play. And you just get left lying there looking crazy. I would suggest that you maybe do a little preparation work.
Yep.
Obviously a finger is your best friend. But first, let's keep it real. You got to clean that kitty. Clean it, clean it, clean it.
Yes.
Yes, get
You don't
you.
want to be serving any gravy now
That's
while they're having
it.
sex.
No gravy on a tube
No
stick.
gravy.
Yes.
No.
No gravy. No gravy. No kibbles. No bits. Okay? Now, if you don't understand how to work that, there is a video on YouTube on how to work with that. But basically, the general rule is, in terms of cleansing and prepping for activities of that nature, you want to run the water into your person for about 5 seconds or less, hold it, and expel until everything is clear. That's just a
Yep.
quick little outing, nothing too deep, no major league toys or anything like that. Just, some reasonable sized penis, you should be fine. Not have
Yeah.
too many surprises, unless your system is a hot ass mess, which is possible. As they say, keep your ass out of Chipotle, Taco Bell, or Del Taco. Okay?
Right. None of those.
Yes, and probably out of the tandoori hut as well, because the spices, they might mess with you. Okay, enough of that. But yeah, get that thing ready. You really need to get used to things going in there. So, start with your fingers, plenty of lube.
Yep, print plenty of lube.
Plenty of lube, water-based, or silicone. Silicone is last longing. Long
Long enough.
lasting. Oh my gosh. I was like, what's wrong with that? It doesn't feel right. It's long lasting. You don't have to reapply too often. Water based. It needs moisture to stay slick. Certainly when playing alone, probably water based is a little better because it kind of forces you to slow down and take breaks naturally. But yeah, work with some fingers. Find yourself a smaller toy to work with. Just get used
Yeah,
to.
I was gonna say the toy,
Yeah.
because then you could get used to something. You can go at your own pace. You know how much lube you're gonna need, to feel comfortable.
Yeah. Because if this is the first time with people that you really don't know, there's already going to be some tension around that, and that ass is going to be tight. It's not going to be as cooperative as you'd like it to be. Yes, you got to be have a little experience.
And then Mr. 8-inch are trying to get in there. That might not be pretty, So,
Yeah, the eight, eight is a wonderful number now. Yeah,
yes.
I think as you get more experience, you will appreciate an eight, for the fullness that it can provide.
Yes.
And but the six
But for your
though,
first time.
yeah, but that six though, them fives and sixes can hit spots that you didn't know needed to be hit. That's all I'm gonna say. sorry, because I still think of, I have fond memories of the Canadian gentleman. And I said, well, damn, I didn't. Oh, ooh, what is, oh, what is that? Okay, enough of that story. But
Yeah.
yeah, I mean, definitely be ready because it's not a normal outing. There are going to be multiple bodies there. You want to be as
Yeah.
relaxed as possible. Focus on your breathing while you're trying to
Yep.
take that. Also, the reason why we say you have to clean out or clear out is because for you to really take that dick in, you're gonna have to push it out, because that actually opens the muscles in your sphincter, so you can actually accommodate things coming in there. and you want to make sure that when you push down, you're not pushing anything down. And then once you've adapted, everything is good to go, then you're gonna be doing tricks and all sorts of things, and you still need to make sure you're not pushing anything down.
Right.
Yes.
That's the big one right there.
Yes, you know.
I just think I think his first the first thing going in your ass, I think you need to do that by yourself. You know,
Yeah.
like we said, either a finger, a toy or something. Just get used to even the feeling, the sensation, you know, finding out how much lube is going to work for you, and then I think go from there. And I do think you got to tell these guys, you know, so the expectations can be managed, I suppose. You know, so they know, hey, we got to go gentle with this guy, you know,
Yeah.
because they may not believe that. They may not know, or you cannot expect them to assume that you're a virgin and that they're just going to go gentle at first. They have to know.
And they might appreciate the fact that they are introducing this virgin because chances are it will not be the first time. They are going to be more than happy to fully initiate and break you in.
You're right.
So there will be return visits, I imagine.
And maybe take you past your limits in a good way. You know, take it past what you thought was
Oh
possible.
yeah, they're gonna teach you some tricks now.
Yeah.
And obviously, protect yourself. Make sure there's no stealth fucking going on, because that shit's not
That,
cute.
yes, very important.
I mean, who needs to catch shit on their first time at the rodeo? Not cute.
No.
And I think, oh, what was the other thing I was gonna advise him about? Yeah, you really kind of have to set a scene for yourself to make sure that you're comfortable. It's not so much about their desire the first time or two that you guys hook up. It's about your level of comfort because, oh, that's what it is. A real dick feels different than a toy.
That's true.
And the way that that person is entering and stroking you is different than what you're gonna get with the toy that you're controlling. It's different angles, it's different sensation. You must learn to play on your own so you understand how all that stuff back there works. And you can kind of let them know what it is you like and don't like, and also to understand the differences between good and bad pain.
Right.
Because it's
Because there is a
there is
difference.
a difference. It's not all,
Yes.
it's not all roses and puppy dogs, baby.
No.
It is the first time or two, depending on who you're messing with and if they know what they're doing, it can be not so bad to downright nightmarish. Would that be an
Right.
accurate scale? I've not encountered anyone that said, oh, it was phenomenal. I've not heard that for a first time. I've never heard that, and I certainly didn't have that experience either.
And I have to, I want to share, you know, you know, so this, he's 20 years old. So I, to me, you know, I was a late bloomer. I mean, I was 23 before I, you know, did
All
anything.
right.
And, you know, they, I had read articles, you know, stuff before I did
Did your
anything. And I remember them
research?
saying,
Yes.
well, I remember people saying that, you know, that it hurts at first and then it gets really good later on. And to me, that was a weird thing.
Yeah.
I didn't, to me, I, but when I experienced it, I thought, oh, yes, these people were right. So to me, that's what I consider the kind of the good pain because you kind of know what's coming next, you know?
Yeah, because when
Yeah.
yeah, because when they hit that third, is it second or third sphincter? That's the one that you just, it's kind of like, oh, it's not pain, it's painful, but it's like a it's a different one from the first one, because I think the first, the external and the internal, those two rings are basically right there together, and they kind of
Yes.
work in concert together. But that next one you encounter, that's the one where you have that good versus bad pain thing, where you're like, oh, I don't know about this,
Yeah.
just relax.
Sometimes that first one, that could be, you know, they're not, they're going too much. They could be a ring of fire, not a ring
That's
of
it,
pleasure.
and it should not be a ring of fire.
Nope, no rings of
Yeah,
fire.
if it's burning, that means you are not relaxed enough. Relax, yep. Relax. That's what I was talking about. Work on your breathing. You know, it's, you know, how did Kid Fury describe it? He was like, you know, he said it's some work. It's like an out-of-body experience taking dick. Because, you know, you do have to, your body goes through things.
Yes.
And it's about to go through two things.
Yes.
You lucky bitch, you.
Or two of them are about to go through him.
That's it. Well, you know.
Two things are about to go in him.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's definitely, yeah, there's preparation. That's the best thing you could do is preparation. You want to make sure that, you know, your body is, you know, that area is cleaned out, ready to go. Because there have been times where I've been like, I don't think I hit every spot like I needed to. And I wasn't able to relax as much as I would have liked and as I normally would. It really takes away from the experience. So, you know, everybody talks about the quickie sex and the walking down the street and the hot guy approaches you, blah, blah, blah. That's good in the movies, but in real life, it could be a problem.
Yeah. And in this, and with this, with Richard, you know, the whole focus does not have to be on anal sex.
Doesn't.
There's other things, just like we just spoke about earlier. There's other things you could do that all three of you can enjoy. So don't close your mind off to other things just worrying just about having anal sex.
Yeah. And I would even say if, you know, if they're willing to go that slow, the first time you guys connect, they can just engage in some light ass play with you. Some fingers, you know, a little tongue. Because a tongue, you know, that'll get some stuff ready. but, you know, some finger play, because also someone else's fingers going into you feel very different than your own. It's about angles again. It's very different.
Yeah. They're just things they can do that you just can't do to yourself.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, yeah, no, that's not a good example. So, yeah, you're I'm not talking about a selfie stick. I'm like, yeah, that doesn't work.
Oh, no.
That doesn't work.
No.
But, yeah. But definitely prepare for anything.
All right, Richard. Well, let us know how it goes.
Thank you. We want to know how that goes down. And, you know, did your eyes roll back in your head how many times?
Exactly. Yes.
And how tired were you the next day? Because that's how you know if you did it right.
And when are you going back?
That's it. Right. You know, and if it does go down, give yourself a good 2 days, maybe. Like, if they must have you come back over, fine. Go back over there and suck some dick, get your dick sucked. But don't let them back up in there. You got to heal, and, you know, once you're a pro, you good. You can take a couple of dicks
then you
a
go
day
for the marathon.
No problem.
Yeah. It's
like, we have problems. But yes, Richard, baby, yes, we appreciate your ambition.
Yes.
Bravo,
yes.
Bravo.
So if any of you have questions that you would like us to answer on the air, go ahead and send your questions to us at sexualhealingpod@gmail.com, and we just may read it over the air and answer your question.
That's it. And also, because we do two different types of letters, if you could put in a subject line, if it's a something that the ladies out there want to ask us, if you could put in there, you know, in your subject line, hey, Brista, something like that, so we know that it's from one of the ladies, it'll be easier to spot and possibly include it on the show.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So also, in those places where you might want to interact with us, we're now on pretty much all the social media platforms. We're on Twitter, we're on Instagram, Facebook. Am I overlooking anyone? We're even on Pinterest. you know, we're out there on all the platforms under Sexual Healing Pod. And I think on Facebook we're Sexual Healing Top to Bottom. Or from top to bottom. But I think if you type in sexual healing, you'll find us. But yeah, so, you know, in the meantime, please subscribe to us on iTunes and what other podcast platforms you listen to your shows on. We appreciate any 4- and 5-star ratings. 5 would be definitely appreciated.
We like those 5s.
Yeah, we like a 5, you know. If it could go to a 6, 7, or 8, that's even better. But we'll take a 5. In this case.
Yes.
But yeah, we you know, we need those reviews to get out there and hopefully share some more information with the folks that need to hear it and stimulate some of those conversations and and, you know, see what else develops. But we have lots of things that we want to talk with you guys about, so please reach out and touch us. We tend to hang out on Twitter. And then that's what we got. So did you have any closing words for us today, Dark Boy?
Nope, just you know, keep doing what you're doing. Make sure you're doing the right thing, and be good to everybody that you're around.
Okay, and I would say it is a good idea to plan and prepare, whether it be for taking dick or for life.
Yep.
So until next time, brothers, sisters, misters, we wish you the best. Have a great week.